good to see you all tonight, knowing that we have several out tonight, but it's okay. So we're here, and there'll be a time when you're not here, and they're going to be here. So we're going to continue to do what we do on Wednesday nights, and sing and worship and do the Word, and hopefully be encouraged by what the Word has to say. So tonight, I want to turn to 1 Kings in the Old Testament, in chapter 13, to share with you. It's not going to be as powerful in some sense of message as maybe Sunday's was or whatever, but this is going to be something, hopefully, this is one of those ones where something's going to hopefully hit to you and you can take it home and wrestle with it, because there's some different pieces in here that, there's a lot in here. So I want to give you kind of, we're not going to read two or three chapters, so I'm going to have to summarize a little bit of it. But I want to bring you up to what we're going to talk about tonight. So what we've known is King Solomon. King Solomon is passed away, which was King David's son. So King Solomon, so the great, that awesome time of Saul and David and Solomon has now come to an end. And so now we have this division going on. And so the Solomon's son, he's going to be reigning as king, and he goes and asks for some advice from his elder people, and then he went over and asked some advice from some younger people, and the elder people says, you know, you don't want to be so hard on the people, and basically the younger people said, make it heavy on them, make it heavy on the people, and so basically he made it heavy on them, and so this guy named Jeroboam turns around and says, we're going to have nothing to do with the house of David. And so now we see a split, and God knew all this was going to happen, and he said it was going to happen. So there were 10 tribes that were with Jeroboam, and then there was the house of the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. It was on one side, and so that's the house of David. And so they're over there. So we have division amongst God's people, and there'll be a division for a while. So there'll be a king set up in Judah and the king set up in Israel. So Judah has two tribes, and it's Benjamin and Judah. So in the house of David, okay? So here's what happens. King Jeroboam decides he didn't want all of his people to be running over there up and worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem. Didn't want that to happen. So basically he decides, I don't want to, if I do that, then no, they won't come back. And they'll stick over there. So what he does in chapter 12 is he decides he's going to do something that was done amongst God's people when they were leaving Egypt. He decides to create two golden calves. He places one in Bethel, and he places the other in Dan. And so he now has worship of golden calves. And that's where we're at. The worshiping of golden calves. And you know how that ended in the book of Exodus. It did not end well, and God was very unhappy. Moses was very unhappy about making the golden calf. So now we have God's people beginning ready to worship two golden calves. You can go to Bethel or you can go to Dan and worship these golden calves. So God has a plan, and so God's going to talk. He gives a message to a prophet. This is where God would speak to a man and he would go and deliver a message from God. And always get a true prophet of God would always speak and would always come out to be true. So I want to read a few verses for you in chapter 13 of 1 Kings. Now, this prophet, the man of God, they call the man of God, we do not know his name. We do not know his name. It says in verse 1, by the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering, he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord. And this prophet, he's speaking, he says, oh, altar, altar. So he's talking to the altar in some sense. This is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. And that does happen later. On you, he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who now make offerings here, and human bones will be burnt on you. That same day, the man of God gave a sign. So he said, here's going to be the sign. This is the sign the Lord has declared. The altar will split apart and the ashes on it will be poured out. And when the king Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and he said, "Seize him." But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up so that he could not pull it back. Also, the altar split apart and its ashes poured out according to the sign given to the man of God by the word of the Lord. So what we have here in this piece right here is we have a man of God coming in and going to give a prophecy, a prophetic piece to this king Jeroboam. It's not a good one. Okay? And he's going to say, this is the sign that the altar is going to split and the ashes are going to come right out of it. Well, he's speaking that way, and men of God, prophets, were always pretty bold in front of kings, even though they knew they could be arrested, they knew they could be put in chains or whatever. We see that with the prophet Jeremiah. We see that with others. And we see that here with the man of God, that he is bold enough to share it. But the king throws his arm out and he says, "Seize him," which means arrest him. Get him under. But God does something. The prophet didn't. His arm could not come back. It was all messed up. Let's see what the king says in verse 6. The king said to the man of God, "Intercede with the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored." So the king says something that it makes sense, but you wouldn't think he would say that, but he makes sense. He says, intercede with your God. Should have been his God, but his God is golden calves. But he says, "Intercede with the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored." Wicked people are only concerned about themselves. Can I just tell you that? They love to talk about themselves. They want their way all the time. And so we see this as well. So the man of God interceded for the Lord, with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. So this is really what's happened. There's three miracles that happened right here, right in front of everybody. And everybody's dumbfounded and didn't see it. You know, sometimes things happen in church and people just don't see it. Spiritual things happen and people just don't see it. Even things that become physical. He just said these things were going to happen. Altar's going to split and the ashes are going to come out all over the place. And it happened. Usually when the prophetic pieces are given, there's a little time to fix things or a little time between it. This is one of those few that this happens right now. We see that in the book of Daniel. Where that king ended up, your time is done. And that night, he was killed. And we see that. But also, it wasn't just about the altar splitting. It wasn't about the ashes. But it was that the king himself threw his arm out there and God did something to his arm where he couldn't move it. And so the man prayed and then he could move it. Now, if it was done to anyone else, the king might say it was fake. It was wrong. It was set up. It was a trick. No, this happened to the king himself. And he looks at the man of God and he says, "Pray for me." And it's all about him. Okay? But here we go. This is a very important part because there's some really good stuff in here. It's a little lengthy. It's a little different kind of preaching, but it's good for us here. So the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. Now, verse 7. The king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift." Kings love to pay for everything. Because then they owe you nothing. They don't have to feel guilty about anything. They don't have to feel like they want to give you a gift. How many times have you read, "I'll give you up to half of the kingdom"? We see that not only in the Old Testament several times. We see it with King Herod when he's asking for the daughter to dance. All the other stuff. "I'll give you half the kingdom if you'll do these things." These guys are so boastful about giving up half their kingdom, just very foolishly in so many things. But he wants to give a gift. So basically he says, "I want to pay for my healing," is what he's saying. Now the man of God answered in verse 8. He answered the king, "Even if you were to give me half of your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, 'You must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came.'" God gave him specific instructions. And he's telling him, "This is what God told me." So he took another road, and he did not return by the way that he had come to Bethel. So he's done with Bethel, okay? He's not supposed to go back that way. He's not supposed to eat or drink water anywhere. He's supposed to hightail it home. Be done. Okay? Now, there was an old prophet living in Bethel who heard about this whole story. So I'm not going to read all of this, but he heard about this story. His sons told him, said, "Hey, you should have seen what happened, what went down there with King Jeroboam. You should have seen all this stuff that happened." Now, these are sons of prophets, so they were looking at this stuff. And they come back and they tell the older prophet, their father, they tell him what was going on. Now, so this older prophet, he saddles up this donkey and he gets going. And if you look at the map and you kind of register it out, it looks like about 6 miles. So he's got to do some catching up. They don't have to catch up too much because the man of God he's hanging out under a tree. So he's kind of resting. So the old prophet kind of came up. So what happens is a very unique piece. The old prophet meets the man of God. Verse 14, and he rode after the man of God, and he found him sitting under an oak tree, and he asked, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" "I am," he replied. So the prophet said to him, "Come home and with me and eat." So the prophet said to him, "Come home, me, and eat." And the man of God said, "I cannot turn back and forth. I cannot go back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told the word of the Lord. You must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came." The old prophet answered, "I too am a prophet, as you are. And the angel said to me by the word of the Lord, 'Bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water.' But the scripture says he was lying to him." So the man of God returned with him, and he ate and he drank in his house. And while they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet, and he brought him back, and he cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah. This is what the Lord says. So the old prophet turns and he says to the other prophet, "You have defiled the word of the Lord and have not come and not kept the command of the Lord your God that he gave you. You came back and you ate bread and you drank water in this place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers." When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him saddled up his donkey for him, and he went on his way, and a lion met him on the road and killed him. Now, that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? And basically, later on, the older prophet says, "Hey," he comes and gets him, he takes him, and he says, "When I die, I want you to bury." He lets this other prophet be buried in his tomb, and he says, "Hey, when I die, I want you to bury me next to this guy here." So what I want to share with you through all of this, this is a major part of a story that is so missed so many times. Let's jump over to verse 33 real quick. "Even after this, Jeroboam did not change his evil ways. But once more, he appointed priests for the high places and all sorts of people. Anyone who wanted to become a priest, he consecrated for high places." This was the sin of the house of Jeroboam that led to its downfall and its destruction from the face of the earth. So anybody that wanted to be a priest, yeah, you can be one. And the Bible says that was the sin and the downfall. Now, so what do we learn from all this piece here? We see this whole thing. One, we see some different characters. We see King Jeroboam, who led his people in idolatry. Let me tell you, this isn't about all politicians, but I will tell you a lot of people in those kind of positions do not care about the society. They care about themselves. They only care about this whole message is about pay attention who you listen to. Be cautious who you listen to. And so King Jeroboam led his people into idolatry. They were worshiping golden calves instead of God. And they were supposed to be God's people. And they were God's people. But they were misled by King Jeroboam. Also, we see God's mercy in this whole thing. We see God's mercy in this whole story. You're thinking, wow, well, God let a lion kill the prophet. We see God's mercy on King Jeroboam. who is, when he went out, he says, seize him. God didn't have to do that. God shriveled up his arm, but it was the prayer of the prophet, the man of God, who prayed for the king that his arm would be restored, and it is granted. God showed mercy. That's not what King Jeroboam, many of us would say, that he didn't get what he deserved. You're exactly right. He was given mercy. We look for judgment. We look for the hammer to fall. We look for the paddle to come out. We look for a discipline to come out. But God showed mercy to the one that was living in evilness and wickedness. And you think, why would God do that? But God shows mercy to the king. And there was a healing. One of the three miracles there was a healing. But I want to remind you that the man of God had two temptations. You see, after great success, sometimes, many times, comes great temptation. Now, if you were in ministry, this is where I would have been sitting out there taking some notes. Because I expect, as I serve God, that I'm going to have some victories in my ministry. And I just heard that in great success comes great temptation. Also, it may not be great temptation, but great trials or tribulations. I know that sounds like a lot to write. But what it's saying is, after you come on off the mountaintop, if you all know Elijah, you come off the mountaintop. I mean, man, that was an awesome showdown at noon and all that kind of stuff happened. Coming down off of that mountaintop, and then he runs in fear because it's a woman named Jezebel. All she did was speak words. I'm just telling you, there's a temptation when you come off of a great mountaintop. King David did it after the battles. He went off into his palace, relaxed a little too much on the rooftop, saw a woman, a wife of one of his soldiers. He fell into that temptation and he failed. We see this over and over. After Jesus was baptized, great, awesome moment between him and God, John the Baptist, him and God. Father says, this is my son who I am well pleased. After that, the Bible says immediately the Spirit led him into the wilderness and he was tempted. After great success, after being on the mountaintop, temptation, great temptation, sometimes, many times just comes. Okay? So don't get all upset when temptation comes or when big, great tribulation comes or troubles. You're just doing what God's called you to do. And this man did what God called him to do. And he was tempted by the king. Come on over to my house, eat and drink. I'm not going to do that. It's fresh off the mountaintop. Right there it is. He just experienced all these three miracles. Prophetic peace came true. And the one with Josiah, that comes true later. There was one prophetic piece that was coming true later, and it did. But also the shrinking and the healing of the hand. And he says, I can't do that. I can't go there. And of course, when we are talking to people that are living a wicked life, it's easy to turn around and says, no, I'm not going to drink with you. I'm not going to do that. I need to be living a different life. And so he passes that time of, he passes that temptation test piece. He passes. But I'm telling you, it's not over until you go home. The journey and vision, the mission that God gave him wasn't over until he got home. And what didn't end when he left Bethel, it ended when he got home, because he wasn't supposed to eat or drink. He was supposed to get home. And he's supposed to go a different route. But there's this old prophet. This is the hard part. This is the old prophet. He runs him down. He finds him under a tree, and the man of God is there. He's resting. He's on a journey. And he falls for this. One angel told me, I'm a prophet too, and the angel told me that you need to come back to my place, and you need to eat, and you need to drink with me. So basically, I got a meal prepared for you, so let's go back to Bethel. Now, why didn't he go with the king, and why did he end up going with, he didn't go with the king, but he ended up going with the old prophet. What we see here is a piece that sometimes some of your biggest times of temptation can come from those who are believers just like you. It doesn't mean they're always living right. But he says, I'm an old prophet. I'm a prophet too. And there's a time of confusion. There can be a time of confusion when you're not sure what to do. And I want to give you some points here that I believe these points can help you when you're in a time of not sure what to do. We're praying. We're trying to figure out what to do. We're doing what God's called us to do, but some things come up. I'm not sure what to do. And I want to tell you, you need to be wise. Wise in the Spirit. Number one, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you let speak into your life. Be careful who you let speak into your life. Not everybody. You should not let everybody speak into your life. This old prophet spoke into this other prophet's life, and he said, an angel told me. We'll get to that in a minute. But we need to be careful who we listen to. Everybody on Facebook that says they're a pastor, you don't listen to every one of them. Be careful of new voices. Be careful of new voices. Okay? You have to be careful of new voices. Just because they wear a suit, just because they're so-and-so, or they have a position, listen, be careful. If you've not heard them before, check them out. Check them out. See, a lot of times they'll say 9 things that are right, but it's that one thing. And even if they may, you know, maybe there is a difference. I'm not talking about some differences in some, maybe some beliefs, and some maybe some doctrine there we can work with at times, you know. Some people may not believe in the gift of healing, but other people do. And we can work around those things. But when people would say things like some other things that are just really, that are really off. God told me to tell you this. Let me tell you what God's thinking right now. Let me tell you what God's saying right now. You be careful with people who say, this is what God is saying, unless it's coming from the Scriptures. No man knows the words of God. Okay? So we need to be careful of new voices in our life. Number 3, we need to be aware of new revelations and new prophecies. It's kind of funny, as I was going through this study, somebody emailed me a message. I haven't talked to this person in a long time, and it was a person on there. It was a pastor, and I'm not going to bash him. I'm not going to say who he is or whatever. But it was all about, that he prophesied. And he said, he talks about these dreams. He prophesied COVID in March. He prophesied these riots and everything in June. And now he's prophesying something in September, between September and November, where this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And I'm like, and many of these people can have a very charismatic voice. And they pull you in with their accent, or they pull you in just because they're very charismatic. And so they can talk well, they have a good stature, they're doing those things, and they pull in. But here it is, I'm reading this, and God reminds me, be careful of new revelations and prophecies. If I don't know them, I'm not going to believe them right now. Because why? Because 1 John, let's read it for a minute. 1 John 4:1 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, a lot of people will say that, you know, like I said, you can't be in one conversation and think you got it all figured out. Listen, when mission teams come here, or before mission teams come, they have done checked out our website. They've done checked me out. They've done called the association office. They've not only called the association office, they have called the state office to see if we are legit, if we are solid, if we stand on the word, and they want to know our character. They're not going to load up a couple of vans of 15 or 30 people coming in without checking out who we are. You just can't listen to it one time and say, yes, that's true. That's true. So we are to examine, and we need to pray, and we need to test the spirit. Because not everyone who says Jesus is and has the Holy Spirit. Okay? And sometimes people do, but there's other complications as well. So we need to be aware of new revelations and new prophecies. This is what this guy messed up on. Oh, the The old prophet, one, you want to give honor to someone that's older. And they were very, very strong about that. Let's give honor to ones that are older. And he did. But he said, an angel told me this. This is number four. When you get stuck or you're unsure, you need to do this. Remember, when you're unsure and you don't know which way to go, to the right or left or straight or back or what, you need to do this. You need to stop and say, what was the last thing the Lord told me? Not what you told me. Whether you hold a high position or not, you got a church of 50,000, or you're some president of some denomination. Not what you told me, but what was the last thing the Lord told me? And that's what you do. Very simple. That's what you do. Because really, what was in Bethel? Some food and some water? You do what God has called you to do. When you're unsure, you stick with the word. Okay, you stick with the word. There is a cost for disobedience. Now we see, why was God so merciful to Jeroboam? And so hard on the man of God? That's what it looks like, right? Because the man of God knew better. He knew the voice of God. Jeroboam didn't know the voice of God. God just gave him mercy for that moment. He gave him mercy because the man of God prayed for him. But the man of God chose to disobey God. And if you want to get in trouble with God, just be disobedient. Just be disobedient. Y'all know the story of Jonah. Just be disobedient. Okay? You know, right now there's a lot of men and a lot of women that God's calling into ministry, and they're just like Jonah, running around trying to ignore it and run, and their life is not where they know it needs to be, and they have more problems than what they need. God puts us under discipline at times, but the Bible says he disciplines because why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. So there is a cost for disobedience. There's a price. Also, I want to remind you that miracles is not evangelism. Just because Jeroboam saw a miracle and the miracle was on him didn't mean that it was evangelism. Miracles are not evangelism. Evangelism is when you share the story of Jesus Christ, the salvation story. Miracle is something that supernaturally through the Lord that God does something. But a miracle is not evangelism. Jeroboam just received the miracle. He didn't receive any type of salvation, any time of anything of repenting or anything. He received this miracle. He saw these miracles, but it's not evangelism. Okay? Can I tell you that singing worship songs is not evangelism? There's great things in it. It kind of shares the gospel many times in it, but you have to speak. You have to share. They do not hear unless you speak. Miracles is not evangelism. Sometimes people don't change, unfortunately. Sometimes people do not change. And the king did not. The king did not change. It says, even after this, Jeroboam did not change his evil ways. So the miracles didn't change him. Even when Jesus says, even the Bible even says that Jesus even renounced some of the towns and the villages where he went and did miracles because there was not a change. There was a change with the miracles that he did, but they never made a heart change. They never made a change in their life. They desired the miracle, but they didn't desire the Lord himself. Sometimes do we feel like that in church sometimes? That we desire what the Lord wants? We desire the things of the Lord? We don't really desire him. And I will tell you this. The further you drift from God, the more evil and wickedness that you will do. You will do things that you never said you would do. Jeroboam didn't plan on making calves until he thought, these golden calves, until he thought he was going to lose people. Sin pulls us and draws us to do more sin. And when we step toward closer to God, we step closer to Him, and that should push away some of that sin, and we get right with the Lord. You see, sometimes when we go and we want to sit, I don't believe this prophet was sulking and upset about things. I believe he was just resting under the tree. The last piece I want to tell you is when you rest, don't rest too long. Be about the Lord's business. Be about the life that God's called you to do. And when you're praying and you don't know what to pray for and you begin to pray, let me tell you what you do, and this helps me. When I'm praying and I'm done and I'm like, okay, I need to think of something else to pray about. I need to stretch it. No, I need to get up and be about the Lord's business. Because it's in those moments when you find yourself going in directions that you don't need to. Sometimes we just need to get up and get going. We need to get up and get going. So how do we catch up on all this? Be careful who you let into your life. Be careful who you follow. Be careful. I'm going to close with this. Been doing this church for 19 years. We're going to prayerfully just being excited to celebrate 20 years next year. But there have been a few people in New Life from the beginning that always wanted to come up and tell me about, well, you need to read this book. Or let me tell you something. Let me tell you about why you should believe this or why you should believe that. And I'll give them a moment because I'm not sure what they're going to talk about. But every one of them that has spoken to me would always be telling me that I need to go more into these other books, which would draw me less to this book. And there was always something fresh and new. I noticed that. There's always something fresh and new. And this is why I believe this story is in the Bible, to remind us as believers, be careful who you let speak into your life. Because there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of voices, and they're not all good voices. Amen? They're not all good voices. Be careful. And when you talk about a topic, make sure you know what you're talking about. You might lead someone astray of stuff you don't even know what you know about, because you don't really know that much about it in the first place. Okay? Amen? A little different tonight, but I wanted to give you that piece. I think it's very important right now because we have a lot of people that are trying to speak into our lives on Facebook. We have a lot of people that are speaking on the media, and you don't even know what to believe. I'm trying to get away from all of it. Because it's just a bunch of lies, I don't know what's truth, what's lie. I have to step back, get in the Word. You know what's happening to me? My joy is returning. My joy of the Lord is returning. And it's trying to steal my joy for like 3 weeks. There was one moment Carlos says, you got to stop watching the news. I do. Because I watch it. Next night I watch it. I get fired up. I get upset. I was like, what's going on? Listen to that. And then I just, look at all that stuff that everybody's doing. And they're tearing things down. They're doing these things. And I was sitting there thinking, man, the stuff they did last, if they did this 6 months ago, you'd be arrested for this and this and that. Why is evil allowed to be and wickedness? And I'd get all riled up. And I was like, And the Lord just said, stop. I think the Lord spoke even through Carl and said, stop watching it. And then the Holy Spirit just says, what I call you to do? Preach the Word. Preach the Word. And the Lord will deal with the rest. What was I doing? I was letting everybody else speak into my life. I was letting everybody speak into me. And I need to say, stop. Those voices are so loud. You know what? None of them were trying to build me up. That's a sign. Number two, they were all negative. I don't care what channel you listen to, they were negative. Number three, they were all telling me I need to pick a side. And number four, just dividing people. I get back in the Word tells me this, there's hope. There's hope. There's a truth. There's a truth that's everlasting. There's a voice that will never lead me astray, never lead you astray. And there's a joy that surpasses all understanding. And there's a peace. Even when you go through times of trial, there's still an inner peace. And these things are flourishing in me right now, and it makes me happy. that even during this time, I can have joy in the Lord. I'm not going to let those people speak in my life anymore. No, I'm not going to be. I'm going to pay attention to some headlines and maybe pick a story out here and there, and I'm going to be done. Then we'll be done. So if you got anger built up because of what's going on, and you're nervous or you're scared of what's going on, you're listening to the wrong voices. You're listening to the wrong voices. I'm listening to the pastors right now that are going, they're listening to the wrong voices. I got to step away a little bit from them. They're listening to the wrong voices. Okay? Listen, you get around a pastor long enough, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to help you real quick. If he's not talking about Jesus, he's not talking about building up the church, and all he's talking about is politics, 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 just say, hey, I thought you were a preacher. Preach the word. Tell me something about Jesus today. Amen? It's a time where we're supposed to have an altar call every service. I don't know how that's going to work tonight, but we're just going to go ahead and do that. So I'm going to ask you to stand. If you want to come and you want to pray over something, you know what? You come on up and do that.